What's going on, everybody? Who's ready to get locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles? I know I am. Welcome in to Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition of the show. Thank you for joining me. Really excited about today's episode. We are getting into the Senior Bowl. We're going to preview it, especially for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's always going to be Eagles-centric right here on the show. Getting into the positional needs of the team, like me and Gino did yesterday, but with a Senior Bowl focus. Who are some of the players on Saturday that you're really going to be focusing on when it comes to what the Eagles need? I think of deep threats, running backs, defensive linemen, offensive linemen. Who could we be seeing on Saturday, much like it was Carson Wentz a couple years ago down in Mobile, Alabama, that could be in an Eagles uniform next year? And just in general, how much NFL talent is there at the Senior Bowl this year that we could be seeing taken on day one and early on day two, regularly seeing them on Sundays dominating in the NFL? We had the pleasure of talking about the Senior Bowl with an X's and O's guru from BleedingGreenNation.com, Michael Kist, formerly of the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you're a regular listener from last year up until and you stuck with the Lou DiBiase, Gino Camilleri era of Locked On Eagles, you are very familiar with Michael Kist's work on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. And I'm very excited about the interview, the chance to talk to him about this talent that you're going to see on Saturday. The game is at 2:30, and you can watch that on NFL Network. So, without further ado, let's get into our interview with Michael Kist. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, the second segment of our Thursday edition. We're getting into the Senior Bowl, and who else to talk to about the Senior Bowl? None other than Mr. Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation. Follow him on Twitter, at Michael Kist NFL. Michael Kist, how's it going, man?
It's going great, man. I'm enjoying my week down here in Mobile, taking in the sights and the sounds, watching some practices, going a little crazy downtown. It's all happening here in Mobile, Alabama. I know that's a weird thing to say, but it really is a fun time.
This has got to be kind of like your Christmas. You live for this time of year.
Yeah, it's the only time I can, you know, justify a reason to get out of the house and, you know, be away from the family for a little bit, obviously missing the little ones and the wife and everything. But yeah, it's a nice little break to get out of Florida, get out of the house and cover some football with some just dudes being dudes, guys being guys.
And you've been covering it for a while. Have you seen the atmosphere there almost increase over the past few years, really the popularity of it? I mean, draft season itself, you've seen the growth just from the NFL with fans and the media, the obsession with the draft, and for good reasons. Have you seen it increase each year?
You know, it's pretty cool because I go last year and, you know, there's a crowd, and then this year I was telling people, like, it feels like there are a lot more people that haven't gone that are going now to cover this, and that, you know, that not only speaks to people around me getting more opportunities to be able to cover the draft that come from that kind of background, getting a lot of opportunities to do these things, to come check it out. But also, you know, Jim Nagy did a great job of promoting it, the social media, hyping up the prospects, you know, everything like that, being real communicative with the draft community. I know he's done some podcasts talking about it, and he's been real open. Phil Savage, and all credit to him, he put on a great show. A little more reserved in what he says about players. You know, Nagy kind of lets it all hang, so it's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. But I really like the way that things are run down here, and I would definitely agree that things this year feels a little more vibrant than it has in years past. Maybe that's just because I'm in the moment and I'm really enjoying everything, but yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
And look, Carson Wentz was in the Senior Bowl. There have been some good players over the past few years and really throughout the history of the Senior Bowl that have come out and have succeeded in the NFL. How much stock do you put into it when you're talking about the combination of, you know, the film, the draft process, interviewing, the combine? How much weight do you put into the Senior Bowl?
I think it's important to check boxes that may not have been checked from the tape itself. Some things that players, you know, they weren't asked to do in college. For instance, they went specifically with a light quarterback group because the teams wanted to see some of these safeties also play corner as well if they were interested in cross-training right. them or moving them to corner, whatever the case may be. So that's something that you can take something away from. You know, you look at a prospect, I'll just give one who I love, North Dakota State running back Bruce Anderson, wasn't asked to be much of a receiver out of the backfield for the Bison. On film, you see flashes of it. You see that yeah. it can definitely do it. But then you get down here and you want to see him in those individual drills. You want to see him out of his breaks, running different types of routes against different, you know, different players and linebackers and whatnot, and really just highlight those and be able to come away and say, okay, he wasn't asked to do it, but he can definitely do it. You know, there are other players like Duke's Daniel Jones. I never understood the hype on him as a first-round quarterback, and I was like, maybe I'll see something different when I come down to Mobile. I know, you know, Jared Stidham, the Auburn quarterback, had to suffer through an offense that wasn't exactly suited for him, so maybe it would help him. I don't think that was the case for either of these quarterbacks down here, unfortunately. I don't think there's a Carson Wentz down here this year, so a little bit lame in that regard with the quarterback group. But yeah, there are a lot of different things that you can take away from this type of showcase game, these practices, if you know what you're looking for and you know what boxes you have to check or uncheck.
Yeah, Mike, so you mentioned it, a small school guy like Bruce Anderson out of North Dakota State. I'm going to ask a two-parted question here. For the small school guys, you've heard a lot about Penny Hart this week. What does it do for them? And then for these bigger school guys like a Debo Samuel, what benefit does it do them to come down here and play against this level of competition?
Yeah, Penny Hart's a fun one. He's got some wiggle to you. You know, you think you got him, or you're in a trail, or you're hip to hip with him, and next thing you know, you've completely lost him, and he's separated from you. But for him and for all the small school guys, the question always is, you know, how do they perform against better competition? And maybe sometimes you'll find like a game from Andy Isabella, the UMass wide receiver, where he, you know, blows up a big game against Georgia, and you're like, okay, cool, not too concerned about that. But not all those players have that. I mean, the same thing for Delaware safety Nasir Adderley. You want to see him against higher competition. You want to see them be able to, you know, meet that challenge. So that's big for them. That's a big box to check. And then as far as the second, what was the second question, Gino?
So the bigger school guys, so Debo Samuel, right. He played some big college ball at South Carolina. What is the benefit of him coming here? Because there's a lot of good tape on him. So for him to come down, what is the benefit for those bigger school guys?
Yeah, for him and for the bigger school guys, you get that face-to-face interaction with the coaches. They get to see you up live. They get to know you personally. They get to learn who you are throughout the week. And that's a benefit, you know, for all the guys. But it's a good reason for a guy like that, if he's trying to raise his stock, you know, maybe in a crowded wide receiver class, for him to be able to move the needle a little bit for himself and, you know, prove himself in a setting like this in front of a, you know, Raiders or 49ers wide receivers coach, and the scouts from all the teams are here and everything like that. And it kind of, they call them showcase games because he gets to showcase his skills and individual drills. And he did that. I mean, 7-on-7s, he was crushing it today. I think there were like 3 straight reps where he was in where he had a touchdown catch. So that is going to catch the eye of those scouts. And they're definitely going to, you know, dig deeper. I mean, myself, he's one of the top guys on my list that I want to go through his tape and look at again to see what I saw on the field in Mobile and then cross-check it against the tape.
So in your opinion, how stocked is this Senior Bowl with potential first-round picks, maybe early day two? Are there guys that are going to play on Saturday that you're going to be familiar with on Sundays this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big tackle, Andre Dillard. I think he could go pretty high. Nasir Adderley, who I already mentioned from Delaware, the safety, I think he has the potential to be the top safety selected off the board if some of the warts in Deontay Thompson games from Alabama, if they start to shine under a microscope, so he could go really high. Daniel Jones, obviously, is going to get overdrafted, in my opinion. Same with Drew Lockett. It all depends on how high guys want to take a chance on those players. But, yeah, I mean, there's a solid group of guys here. I would say about 5 or 6 have a chance to hear their name called on night one. So it's a really talented group. And you look along the defenses, you know, the defensive line, Howie Roseman called this draft class for the defensive line and interior and, you know, the edge rushers historic. And so that has trickled down into the Senior Bowl. And there are a lot of guys here that are going to make some money and made some money this week.
So there's always guys that analysts and, you know, the media, scouts, that they're their guys. They're going to pound the table for them come draft day to get that guy on their team. Do you have a man crush yet for the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of developing one. I've had one for Nasir Adderley. I've had one for Bruce Anderson, who I talked with Matt Waldman before one of the practices from Matt Waldman's RSP football guy. He's a great dude. And he was like, you know, I put a tweet out there. It was Thurman Thomas. That was the comp. But he didn't say who it was. And I remember watching Bruce Anderson, the running back for North Dakota State, that night and going, this has got to be who he's talking about. Because he's got all the receiving chops, even though he might not have got targeted. But the way that he runs, he's shifty, and his contact balance, his leg drive, like, it does really remind you a lot, if you're old enough to remember Thurman Thomas, to kind of remind you about his game. So I told him, I'm like, is it Bruce? And he's like, yeah, we should watch some film on him because I really like him. I can't wait to see what he does down here. So Bruce Anderson, by the way, also played with Carson Wentz there in 2015 when they went on that playoff run.
Right.
He was in the quarterfinals. He had a 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to start up the second half. They didn't surrender the lead to Northern Iowa after that. So that year, he had 16 kickoff returns, 585 yards, two touchdowns, a 36-plus yard average, which would have led the FCS if he had enough qualifying kickoff returns. So he's an honor roll student. He's got a track background. It's like, check, 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 check all those boxes. He showed he had the receiving chops this week. You know, I want to see more pass pro from him. Unfortunately, I think he got a knock to the ankle or something to that effect, so we didn't get to see him today. Not sure if we're going to be able to see him in the game, but what I did see from him, the crush is just growing even more.
Yeah, I really liked what I've seen so far from him from the season at North Dakota State. Is he a player? So the Eagles, I mean, they need a running back. We're going to see how much value they want to put into the position in the past. I mean, I think that if McCaffrey was there in 2017, they would have really seriously considered taking him. I think if Dalvin Cook fell to them in the second round, maybe. And they've traded for Ajayi, but at the same time, they've shown that they're okay at the deadline this year, staying put with Josh Adams as their running back. So is Bruce Anderson a guy that you think is someone they would consider more so if they decide to wait? They don't take a running back with their first three picks. Maybe it's more towards the middle rounds. Or do you think Anderson legitimately, with his receiving ability, a guy that, you know, comparing him to a Hall of Fame running back is high praise, is he someone that his stock could raise into maybe the day two level? Or is he someone maybe the Eagles consider down the road to be, you know, I mean, the last time they took a guy in the fourth round, it didn't work out with Danelle Pumphrey, but try again in the mid rounds where you've seen a lot of talent come out, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson. Where do you think Anderson maybe, and of course it's early, but where would you project him if the Eagles wanted to get him?
Well, there's a few things to consider. Number one, it's a pretty light up top running back class. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got guys that are kind of unknown right now, like from Florida, FIU, Devin Singletary. He was getting like running back one buzz because no one could quite figure out who running back one was until Josh Jacobs declared. But number two, who knows where some of these guys are going sometimes, because Rashad Penny went in the first round and nobody expected that whatsoever. But yeah, I think that he's a guy with his track background. I've seen some of the testing that he's done. I think he could slip into, you know, the end of day two. And I think that's an area where the Eagles will probably be comfortable taking it back. I think they really want to focus, at least if I were the Eagles, and I think they're hopefully of the same mindset of, you know, the tackle situation long-term, They have to have an answer there. It's definitely not Halapuli Vaiti Vaiti, in my opinion. You guys know I've pounded the table against him for years now. but then also, you know, the interior. Brandon Brooks isn't going to be available in the beginning of the year. I don't care. He says he's going to be back by training camp. I don't believe that. So getting some interior help. The whispers about Kelsey, you know, possibly retiring. There's a guy from NC State, Garrett Bradbury, who has the same a lot of the same strengths and weaknesses as he does. And, you know, he might be intriguing to them. Interior, the defensive line, getting depth there, and the edge rush as well. I think those are the areas they want to attack. And then towards the end of day two, early day three, is the area that they might start to look for playmakers or maybe a speedy wide receiver, something to that effect. And I think that's an area where Bruce Anderson likely lands. And I think the Eagles would be comfortable taking him there.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, so yesterday on the pod, Lou and I went through the areas of need for this team, and just like you said, the top two needs were the defensive line and the offensive line on the interior and the edge for both defensive line and then the interior for offensive line. So you look at a guy like Montez Sweat, who's having a great Senior Bowl week. Do you see him as a potential target at 25, and do you think with his stock rising so much that he could even make it to 25 in this draft?
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw people talking about him like he was a top 10 prospect. Like we have tons of tape on this guy. Like I don't know if he's going to skyrocket himself like that, or like some are suggesting. He's a darn good football player. I don't think he's the bendiest guy, so I don't think he's going to have that like elite pass rushing ability that is really going to push him up. And you got to consider again who is in the class. You know, you've got Polite, you've got Brian Burns, you've got Josh Allen. You know, guys are real pure pass rushers. You even got like a Cleveland Farrell, who I would probably take before Sweat, but Sweat's going to find his name called pretty early in this draft, possibly around 25, and it could be a guy that the Eagles are targeting. I don't know if they want to go like inside with a guy like Christian Wilkins, maybe early, to kind of like be that spacing a guy with just enough pass rush juice to get the center slide away and let Fletcher Cox, you know, just terrorize guards all season. Like, that's really attractive to me. Or if they want to go edge, and then, you know, when they go in their pass sets, they might kick in Michael Bennett like they like to do, or Timmy Jernigan is back at full health, and that gives them some more depth there. But really, they have a lot of options. They could go with Charles Omenihu from Texas and kick him inside on pass rush downs and have Michael Bennett come off the edge. That's the versatility that Michael Bennett provides you right now. And they have a lot of the same questions, Omenihu and Bennett coming out. You know, where does he play? Well, you know, he rushes the passer, so let's have him rush the passer. It doesn't really matter. He can do it. So I think Sweat is definitely an option at 25. Obviously, interior defensive line. There's so many guys. Like, I could list like 15 guys that they could target in the first two rounds, and I'd be happy with a lot of them. That's how good this class is.
So the Eagles were rumored. Tony Pauline worked with the Philadelphia Eagles in their draft content over the years. He said that the Eagles could be in the mix for free agent pass rushers that aren't just Brandon Graham. Regardless whether they try to do it in free agency or in the draft, they're going to have options when it comes to adding to their pass rushers. Right now you have Derek Barnett really as your only guy locked up for the future, as you know, is going to be a staple on the defensive line. Who knows what Josh Sweat is still going to be in his second year. Hopefully big things to come from him. As a raw talent, I like his potential. But who are some of the guys for the Senior Bowl outside of Montez Sweat on the interior and on the edge that you're going to keep a close eye on for Saturday?
Yeah, there are a couple guys. There's Zach Allen from Boston College. There's Jalen Ferguson from La Tech. You can also go on the interior with guys that might not have such big pass rush juice, but they met with him at the Shrine game. He's a call to the Senior Bowl. His name is Dalen Mack. He's a really low center of gravity kind of guy that can stand to lose some weight, gain some explosiveness. He's already got an explosive first step. He's just a bull to deal with in the interior there. So there are some enticing names. A funny story about Zach Allen. I don't know if it came across on the television broadcast, but him and the tackle from Kansas State, Dalton Risner, got into it. I mean, I just looked up, and all of a sudden, both of them are just swinging multiple haymakers at each other, like really, really getting into it. Yeah. Risner was fired up all freaking game. So that's a tackle that I really like to see. At one point, he charged across the formation and pushed Gruden because he was so hyped about winning an individual rep. You know, Gruden was eating that stuff up. But
100%.
Zach Allen is a big-time competitor and somebody that they could be looking at. So a kid out of Boston College, I'm really excited to really dig into his takes. I thought he did well this week. So there's a couple guys there.
Yeah, Mike, so the Eagles have really shifted their philosophy from going from drafting for positions of need to going to this best player available style of drafting. You look back a couple years, you see Derek Barnett. They didn't really need an edge rusher that year. You look last year with Dallas Goedert. They really didn't need a tight end, but they're starting to draft for 2-3 years down the road. So in regards to this draft, do you see them drafting a guy like Nasir Adderley to be the heir apparent to a Rodney McLeod or a Malcolm Jenkins, or getting another edge rusher to be the heir apparent to a Michael Bennett and a Brandon Graham? And which one of those positions do you think would have the biggest effect to take early in this draft that would have the biggest benefit in year one?
Yeah, obviously the biggest impact that a position is going to make, if you're going to draft one, it's not quarterback, and we're not drafting a quarterback because Carson Wentz is our quarterback.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it would
contrary
it would
to recent popular belief.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little slight shot at everyone. But yeah, I mean, you want to pick positions that impact 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage where you throw the ball from. So that's offensive tackle, and that's edge. So edge is a big spot. It really all just depends on who's there. And Gino, that's a great point about looking 2 to 3 years ahead, which is exactly why I'm looking at the safety group. It's not just because the Eagles use a lot of big dime and a lot of big nickel and so on and so forth. It's the fact that Rodney McLeod's contract is, you know, it ain't light. Malcolm Jenkins ain't getting any younger. So that's something that they could definitely look into, and also give them the immediate benefit of being able to use those packages and giving themselves some depth in the secondary. So I absolutely believe that Adderley is on the table. Another kid that I like at safety, you know, lesser profile, but you're probably a day two guy, is Juan Thornhill. Super productive, 8 interceptions out of Virginia. Thought he had a decent week. All these safeties are going to struggle in this situation. Like I said, they put these safeties in a spot where they have to play a lot of man coverage, which, you know, you're hard-pressed to find a lot of man coverage reps from a lot of these safeties. So they really got put through the ringer in a drill that is already designed to favor the offense. So they got put in some weird spots, so you might see some people, you know, kind of bagging working on them. But I think Thornhill, Adderley are definitely in play at the safety position. But really, if you can find an edge rusher that falls to 25 or even midfield, like getting a little aggressive, this is a fantastic class for it because there is some elite talent at the top of the drop, at the top of the draft, and then all the way through as well. And like you said, Gino, it's not necessarily best player available, but it is for the Eagles because they'll find a way to make those contracts work to where they can kind of construct their roster around that new reality because someone felt them.
Last thing for me, Mike, just want to switch over to offense because you mentioned earlier in the show that offensive line, especially tackle, they have to start bringing in young guys because Halapuli Vaivaitai is not the answer. Jordan Mailata, while his potential, it's there. You know, he, I think, in the preseason last year showed some things, more so than you maybe expected coming from being a former rugby star. But regardless, they haven't really invested a lot of picks, and really they haven't had to since they've had Jason Peters and Lane Johnson, which has probably been the best duo of tackles in the NFL for the past, you know, 5 years. But who are the guys for the Senior Bowl? I know, you know, Kajust is someone that I've seen passed around when it comes to linking his name with the Eagles. On the offensive line, specifically for me, tackle, are there guys that you like that are going to be playing on Saturday in Mobile?
Yeah, Andre Dillard is one that I alluded to earlier. Dalton Risner from Kansas State, I think he goes before the Eagles pick, and he might tick inside, but really, really fiery guy. He actually, I put it out there on Twitter that he got in a fight with Zach Allen. They were throwing haymakers, and I guess he found the tweet and he liked it. So he loves that stuff. He's a chirpy dude, very competitive dude. And I want that kind of guy on my team. But yeah, definitely add offensive tackle as well. Kajust was a big one for me. Yanni Kajust from West Virginia. Just a long dude, big dude, moves really well for his size. Has a really high hit rate on the second level in the run game for such a big fella too. When he gets his hands on you, and he's so long, when he gets his hands on you, the rep is over. His grip strength is crazy. He's got big mitts. You know, he's never met a pickle jar he couldn't open. So he is a guy that I really, really like. I had some issues with some of the technical stuff with his punch. So his punch is very effective, but what happens when he punches is he tends to lean a little bit forward. He can get snatched. He can push, pull, things of that nature. So I really wanted to see that up in person live, see the coaching that he received, and see if he got better throughout the week. But unfortunately, he had to drop out. So that's something that we have to kind of discern on our own and leave it up to the football gods and the coaches that work him out to see if they can feel comfortable. Jeff Stoutland can feel comfortable that he can coach that part of his game out of him. So Kajust is a big name for me, the other two I mentioned. And then, you know, the smaller school guys, you know, you fix the hands of Titus Howard, the Alabama State tackle, and I think you might have something. You know, Eli Udo was or Oli Udo, something like that, from Elon. He was a Shrine Game call-up. He's super raw, but he's got 36-inch arms, and, you know, he's fairly athletic, so he could be a guy that they might want to develop while they think of other stopgap options, maybe in free agency or kind of working around with what we have. But, yeah, there are about four or five guys that I'm really interested in seeing how they do.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, last question from me real quick. Shifting gears from the Senior Bowl, if you happened to catch the East-West Shrine Game last week, were there any names that really popped for you that could make an impact in those late rounds, that day three pick, any of those guys that stood out to you last Saturday?
When I went to the practice, it took me about 10 minutes to identify Terry Godwin being the best route runner there. He was super clean. Now, you're looking at a guy that might be like fourth, fifth round, something of that nature. The Eagles might need, you know, a wide receiver four at some point. How much they want to invest in that position, I'm not sure. But, you know, day three, you can't really go wrong with that if you find yourself a good fourth wide receiver. Or they might just reassign Jordan Matthews. Who knows? But there are questions there as far as the Eagles, especially when it comes to, you know, their long-term investment with Nelson Agholor. Will they make one? You know, what's going on with Golden Tate? He probably leaves. Do they really want Jordan Matthews as that guy? What kind of faith do they have in Mac Collins? So Terry Godwin out of Georgia just showed that Georgia is just real hell for wide receivers to kind of shine, because when I saw him, I was like, how is this guy not to have more production in college? Because he's just separating at will. Now, the question with him is, you know, how does he deal with contact? How does he hold up in the NFL? Because there was one scout, I heard this story relate to me, where they overheard him saying, you know, just look at him with his shirt off. Like, you can see his collarbone. He's a real small guy, you know what I mean? So how does he hold up, you know, in the NFL at the next level? Can he get bigger without sacrificing a bunch of explosion? Is that even possible with his frame? Things of that nature. But let me tell you, when you see him throughout his route stem, out the break, Terry Godwin is a very exciting prospect for me.
Michael Kiss joining us right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. You can check out all of his work over at BleedingGreenNation.com and on Twitter at MichaelKissNFL, formerly of Locked On. Really helped me get going, and Gino, we appreciate all your help, man. Love having you on. Very insightful stuff, and it's an exciting time for the Eagles to add young talent to what is a roster that I still think is top tier in the NFL.
Louis, I love what you've done with the place, man. Keep kicking butt.
Appreciate all your help. And again, thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. See you guys.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Thursday edition, previewing the Senior Bowl this Saturday at 2:30 on NFL Network in Mobile, Alabama. Thanks again to Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation. And again, former host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Appreciate all he's done for us on the network and just really insightful stuff, Gino. I mean, like, he's down there, and some of the names he mentioned when we asked him about the man crushes,
he mentioned
both of our guys. Anderson from North Dakota State, running back is the one I'm big on, and right now for you, safety Adderley out of Delaware. I think people were mistaking his helmet for Michigan,
yeah,
so they kept saying
like
he's from Michigan.
Blue
I'm like,
hands,
there's no way he played at Michigan.
Nope, Delaware.
So
FCS
that
guy
makes me feel better that some of the guys he likes, we were both keeping an eye on for the Eagles.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. I highly suggest checking them out. Like Lou said, he came from lockdown. Now he's doing bigger and better things over at Bleeding Green Nation, and him and Ben Solek are very insightful. I really recommend them this time of year, mm-hmm, along with the Draft Network, to check out their stuff. Michael Kiss he was the one who recommended the Scouting Academy to him, and
yep,
you hear that terminology, and you're gonna have to get used to hearing grip strength for offensive line,
right,
and
right,
stuff like that. And it's tough to pick up, but once you pick up, you're able to understand this game better. And Michael Kiss is one of the key guys, and once again we have to thank him for coming on. It was a great episode,
and he got me excited about some of these players for the Senior Bowl. Penny Hart, the guy's got wheels. It's going to
be scoot.
Yeah, I love the different terminology for
what
he can do.
Everybody check out Penny
Hart,
because if we need a slot receiver, this guy, his change of direction is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's only 5'8", but he's a quick twitch guy. He runs routes very clean, and Lou and I were watching some tape before we started the show today, and this kid, for being 5'8", has one hell of a catch radius, and he caught everything.
Yeah, this
in
isn't
his
some
mitt.
DeSean Jackson where, and I shouldn't take a knock in DeSean's hands, but it wasn't something that was a strong suit of his coming out of Cal and his career with the Eagles and Washington and in Tampa Bay. Whereas, you know, Penny Hart in the red zone, I saw the majority of the highlights we were watching. I'm like, man, this dude works in the red zone, and it's not just using separation with his quickness and his speed, but it's in contested catches. He is making plays on the ball, back shoulder stuff. He is impressive. There's a lot of guys here, and look, the Senior Bowl, it can really help small school. I love the question you asked, Michael Kiss, about, you know, the small school versus the big school, what is in it for both sides. And you know, the quarterback position, you saw it really help Carson Wentz, who now we all know what he is in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
A MVP candidate on, to me, the yearly base, season by season when he's healthy. But then, hey, look at a guy like EJ Manuel, who really, really raised his stock out of Florida State at the Senior Bowl, and the Buffalo Bills took him in the first round, and it didn't work out. So it's one part of the entire draft evaluation process, but it's the first one before, you know, then we got the NFL Combine and, you know, the interviews and the draft. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, and there's scouts. They were talking. There was a report today that the Eagles had meetings with my man crush, Nasir Adderley.
Yep.
Thank goodness. Love to see that. They met with Hunter Renfrow as well. And you're going to continue to see them talk to these guys and do their due diligence at these meetings, at the Combine, and all of that stuff. And just pay attention, because those little hints, they're going to keep dropping little hints at names that they like, and you're going to continue to hear it out as we get closer and closer to the draft.
And those
we
names
still
that
have
they're
2 months
linked with,
left.
I know.
It's crazy.
And those names that the Eagles are linked with, you normally see them go after those guys in the
Absolutely.
Draft. It's not just coming out of thin air. So this is it's an exciting time of year, and it's the first step for the Eagles in maybe replacing some talent that's going to be lost in the offseason. But look, the draft, there is a lot of options for what the Eagles need.
Yeah, and Lou and I were looking once again before we started the show at defensive line, because there was a report that came out that Lou mentioned to Mike from Tony Pauline, who was very informative on the Eagles.
He's in on the Eagles.
He
like,
knows
he
what
knows
he's talking
people
about.
Inside.
He said that the Eagles in free agency are going to address the edge position, which between the draft and this year's free agent class is massive. And
that's the thing. We'll know a lot more about what they're going to do in the draft after free agency. If they go out and add a guy like Frank Clark, who's only 25, coming off a 13-sack season, then you might be thinking, hey, maybe a Jacobs from Alabama, the running back, might be in play at pick 25. And I know you see the smirk on your face because that's one of your guys.
That's my guy, yeah. So, yeah. This is exciting times. And like I said to Mike, this team is going to continue to draft these blue chip players and make it work and find a position for them, because you want the 11 best players on offense and you want the 11 best players on defense. And frankly, the way that Joe Douglas has come in and turned the scouting staff around, the ideology that they've implemented into Howie Roseman has really instilled confidence in me since they've regained control from the dictatorship of Chip Kelly, and we're on to bigger and better things, living this new norm with the entire organization as it is.
All right, so I think that's a good way to wrap up today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Once again, thank you to Michael Kist. Follow him on Twitter, at Michael Kist NFL. If you're really into the draft and you want to learn more about these prospects from a guy that goes in-depth and watches film for
him and
breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Michael Kist, at Michael Kist NFL. Once again, really thank him for all he's done for the Locked On Eagles podcast. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Please follow our Twitter accounts at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino _ LOE. Check out our written content at LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show. Leave a review, hopefully a 5-star rate. And as always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.